Seconda, seconda, seconda. Basta! Mais c'est pareil, là ou là. Le regard est le même.
It's the same look. Wherever way, or I look. Thank you. Thank you to the photographers. Why are you so far away? Yeah, do you want to come here with your microphone? Get a bit closer, come on.
We can share the micro.
Push the micro. On dirait des ennemis.
You're in the corner there. It's as if we're enemies. That's better for a divorce, but it's okay to be divorced and to be so separated.
Roberto. Bonjour, Roberto.
Roberto. Hi, Roberto. Good morning. As I was saying, welcome.
Pas de publicité.
No advertising.
Yeah. Ya estamos.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. And I think that the person next to me, who apart very close to me, because that's what she wanted, I don't need to introduce her, Agnes Varda. She is our Donostia Award, one of the 65th edition of the International Film Festival. It's an honor for her to have her here with us today. And before questions, Agnes could perhaps tell us a bit about this experience in San Sebastian, receiving the award that she's going to receive this afternoon. I have come to San Sebastian several times. The city is a fantastic city, the river, the sea. But I came as a director. I don't remember what film I presented here, but on another occasion, I came along with my daughter and my son for a retrospective dedicated to Jacques Demy, my beloved Jacques Demy. And I came once because Mathieu Demy presented a film of his that he wrote and he directed. Americano is the name of the film. And I'm here once again, here with the film that I've done with my friend JR. And it's unfortunate that he's not here with us today because we made the film with four eyes and four hands, and we've always done the presentations together in Film Festival. But he's in New York now, where I've got to travel next week. He's not, JR hasn't been able to come along, so that's why I'm here representing two. My little me is, I'm representing myself and JR. On this occasion, I've come to show this film, Visage Village, which has been claimed. It's called Faces. I think it's called Faces and Places.
Faces.
Caras.
Caras.
Yes, Caras and Lugares in Spanish.
Caras, pueblos. Okay, lugares. On est très content d'avoir un distributeur espagnol.
I'm very happy to have a Spanish distributor because we make films so that the audience can see them. I'm not too sure whether you've had a chance to see my film, but where we like to respond to people seeing films. Roberto, perhaps you're going to ask me questions, but I'm very happy to be here because, plus, this festival is honoring me with the Donostia Award. And the Donostia Award, how do you say it in Spanish? The Premio Donostia, how do you say that in Spanish? Well, that's the way you say it. So it's a great pleasure for me, and it's a gift that I accept, and I'm very glad to accept, and very modestly at the same time. There's a first question over here. Agnes, congratulations for the Donostia Award. I think you have a very big heart, and that can be that's reflected in your films. And I would like to ask you about women directors that you represent also, whether they are coming along strongly or to find their space in cinema. I would like to ask you, how did you become a woman director in a world of men directors and continue, unfortunately, cinema is still a man's world. How difficult was it for you to become a director, a woman director in the man in.
J'ai fait du cinéma.
Well, making films. And when I started in France, there were three or four women directors who dedicated themselves to this profession, and they dedicate themselves like this profession, like everybody else, so to speak. But always from the outset, I wanted to make radical type films, not especially as a woman, but just as a radical filmmaker. My first film in 1954, which is a film which is not very well known, but if you know, it was a film which was completely radical. And then when the new wave came along, I tried to work on the structure, a film which is clear from 5 to 7 in that film. It is true that I worked in real time with great difficulties with real geography. That's why I tried to use film with what contemporary art could contribute to film. It wasn't to fight as a woman director, but even from the outset, my first film, I wanted women, I suggested women to study film, not only to become women directors, but you can work in sound, you can work as a producer or become a filmmaker, because this is a profession where you don't need physical strength. What you need to be is a little bit intelligent, but anyone can make films. Why? There weren't there many women at that time, because they didn't dare to do so. I said, leave your household, leave your kitchens, leave the house, get out university and pick up the tools of filmmaking. And I was able to see how in France now there are about 100 women filmmakers that have been accepted by the world of film when one or two of them started to make money, because money is the key word here. I had the good fortune of making films with very little money, but films that sometimes weren't very successful, but they were successful from a quality standpoint, if you allow me to say so, because nowadays, everywhere in the world, they talk about films of that time. So when I received this Donosti Award, I'm very impressed. See the list of the people that have received the Donostia Award, and they're all stars and actors and actresses, directors. I don't know whether it's the first time that's given an award to a marginal person like me who works for film, honestly, but I don't make a lot of money with it. And that perhaps is the exceptional. Not the fact that I'm a woman, but the fact is I'm a director, a woman director. A bit special, we could say. A bit special in that sense. Do you agree, Roberto? Perhaps I am special in that respect. Thank you very much for being here today. I want to thank you. Okay. I was saying that I want to take the advantage of being here as a spectator to thank you very much, to have played with images and make reality turn it into poetry throughout your career. But I would like to ask you about your new film. I would like you to tell us whether my vision as a spectator is in the line that you understand that you've made an X-ray of the present-day France and reflecting upon your own trajectory between being sincere and also evil at the same time. But in that film, you talk about the objective to the audience in this world, in its planet. We've got, perhaps we need to go to the ophthalmologist and have our eyes checked because it's a bit blurry and it's not that clear. No, it's unnecessary to be older or to have poor eyesight or not seeing very well and seeing things blurry. The idea is to share images and sounds, and my physical vision is not very good. All of you have got good eyesight and you're all very good looking, but the idea that we had, JR and myself, was to work together. Despite the difference in age, albeit that's not important for our artistic relationship, the idea above all was to document the misery of aging and reinvent them. It's much more fun to do a giant ophthalmological painting, and people do this. It's much more fun than to give a medical report to someone and say, well, okay, you've got 0.2 in one eye and 0.10 in the other eye. But we wanted to find different ways of explaining this. Okay, aging, the fact of aging and being old, this is something that I've experienced throughout my life. Jay and I have addressed it. When I walk up the stairs, I say, oh, my stairs hurt me. When I show my hands to my grandchildren, they say, oh, what a beautiful landscape, grandmother. So through our imagination and with the power that we have imagining things and with the idea that reality exists, obviously, but artists can reinvent that reality, give it another shape to reality, give it another rhythm, another pace. And JR helped me very much with his good humor and the way he laughs, the way he laughs at me, but he laughed at me in a very healthy and funny way. And we didn't have to say, oh, we don't respect older people now. Well, older people are like the others. We all like to make jokes as well. As we like to laugh at each other. We all like to. We don't laugh at a little child that can't walk, so we can't laugh of older people. But in a very natural way, we've started up a creative friendship, JR and I, in a certain way, so that the audience and the spectators can know the people that we knew. The idea was to create a link. For example, let me give you an example. You've asked me a question about politics, but we've never asked the people that we filmed what were their political opinions were. Never. Perhaps whether they're left wing, right wing, or center. That is to say, we wanted to talk to each person because each person, with their face, with the way they talk, and with their behavior and their work, each person seemed interesting to us. So, therefore, we've had the good fortune, and chance has helped us here, because amongst the people that we were with, some of them were particularly interesting. Let's talk one. We went to talk to some workers in a factory. We got a group together, and then a person turned up with a tie and a suit. He said, are you going to a party? And he said, yes, yes, it's my last day in the factory, and that's what I'm celebrating. And all of a sudden, there was a guy that was talking to us, and we understood that he spent 37 or 40 years in the same factory. And the day he stops working, the last day, what he feels is panic. And so, therefore, we saw a lot of, it was very, a lot of simplicity and honesty, and I was on the verge of falling into the abyss, and I was very moved by what that man said, and perhaps you yourself, because we're always talking about retirement. People say, I want to retire at 60, or we want to retire at 64, and we want more money, and we want a higher salary, we want to get a bonus, but with this person, we saw this person simply who had worked in a factory and he's finished his job. And I think that was a gift for the audience or the spectator to propose that you listen to this man and to understand how he is losing his roots. This is just one example, one of the many examples that shows the attitude that we have as documentary makers, JR and I. We always wanted to be listening with our eyes very open, wide open, and our ears and listening very carefully to record all the subtlety, the most delicate and different things, so that we can capture it and to compress it and put it in the film. And it is true that there's an episode, there's a woman from the north who talks about her son and her father, but this woman had people come along that re-evokes that profession, and she says that it talks about fraternity that seems that it's being lost. But we wanted to talk about all of those things. But I don't know whether you know, but nowadays, that the goats' horns are being cut off. Did you know that? You don't know what I'm talking about? Well, I had realized this. We started to investigate this with JR. We're not experts in animals, and neither are we experts in the rural world, but we addressed this issue to try to understand why, how a woman, a very passionate woman, comes along and says, you've got to keep animals as they are, with their horns and with their violence, and with their struggles. So therefore, we did a documentary. We are the make the documentary learn the most. We're not only at the service of what we do, but we also learn at the same time. And I have made a lot of documentaries precisely because of this. I've liked fiction as well. I like to write fiction and to express my ego. But when we work with other people, and when the objective is to allow the spectator to see them, one is in a very interesting position because you're an intermediary. And now that you know these characters, and I'm sure you perhaps might like the postman that JR put on the top of a house, who's the hero of his town, but he's still there. But quite often, what we show, or those photographs that we show on the put on the wall, are erased because of rain falling on them. We want to talk about things that are ephemeral, things that we hang on the wall, but we fooled you because we placed a rock of my friend Dibourdan. We knew that the tide would take it away. We knew that the next day it would disappear, but albeit we recorded it. So therefore, we've played with how ephemeral things are. We know that meetings are ephemeral, collages, for example, and what we stick on the wall is ephemeral. But we wanted to record this so that it can there, so that that contact with that people can remain. I'm not too sure whether you've got any questions about any of the people that we've recorded in the film, but or shot in the film. Sometimes journalists say, No, they're not characters, they're real people. These are people who have put their trust in us, people with whom we have established an empathic and sympathetic relationship that can be seen in the film. And I hope that some of you perhaps have made you, brought a tear to your eye and made you smile in other cases. But there's a certain emotion and a smile is what the film does. And when you leave the film theater, at the end is to say, that how interesting is life, how interesting people are. And in particular, we've always chosen people without power, without any power, neither in their professional life nor in their day-to-day life, because those people are the less known people. There are many documentaries, magnificent documentaries, that talk about people who have got no power, and people that have got no power. So that was what we wanted to do. We didn't want to show people that had power or had a lot of properties or had a lot of money. We've tried to go and meet people, run-of-the-mill people, of those millions of people who are like that, who are regular people, or common people, or common folk, because these are the people that we've liked. I don't remember. Did you ask a question? Did I answer your question or not? Hi, good morning. You define yourself as a radical and marginal. And in your film and in your work, in this film, there's sadness and there's a certain aroma of loss, but there's no rage, there's no wrath. You're not angry. Your film, I'm in the feeling that there's always hope, but not a Hollywood-type hope, but real, true hope in human beings. So therefore, I would like you to talk about those two different ends, on the one side being radical and being marginal, but not being angry at the same time. Films start because of different reasons. Yes, I was angry and I had a lot of rage when I realized in a market out in the street, people who come, like the markets that you see on Tuesday and Thursday, people came in to pick up the things that had fallen down, the remains of eggs or remains of vegetables, and they did, quote unquote, their shopping when the market had already closed down. And I started to be interested in those people that went to pick up the remains that people throw out. And it happens in the countryside, how there were potatoes with codes and different shapes and formats, and then the rest that didn't, they threw that, and that made me very angry that these things were to be thrown away because they weren't the right size or shape. And I made a film, and maybe you've seen it, the Gleamers and I. And therefore, I thought that was very, the Gleamers and I, and then I thought this was very interesting. Did you raise your hand? At that time, I said, we have to talk about this. We must talk about these people because we have to awaken to the fact that we're throwing out many things. We consume too much. Too many things are thrown out. There's too much egoism. And I said, we've got to change that attitude. But on the contrary, in my last film, not in this film, I'm not angry at all. JR and myself, we were more or less a state of empathy with those people. That's what we said. We weren't interested in knowing who they vote for. We were more interested in their persona, in them as people. We're not sociologists, neither are we anthropologists. We're just filmmakers. We've tried to be honest, to be able to show real meetings and encounters with more or less fun people and with magical. You all of a sudden you enter into a photo booth and you take, and all of a sudden you can put it on a wall after taking a photo, but everything is now. Not only was it free, but also with JR, we were radical. We said zero advertising. We don't want a sponsor to appear. You know, people sell things in fairs, but there was nothing to sell and nothing to buy. And we were very careful for not to see any advertising at all, because it's not a commercial exchange. It's not the idea to use the audience and take it and kidnap the audience in a fair at all. I was posing in front of the Donostia panel. Well, I am in a film festival and they're giving me awards, so therefore it's normal for me to do so. But I don't like to pose even in the photo calls because there's always advertising behind it. I remember that I was in a meeting, in a press meeting, behind me there was advertising of these pens. I said, what's this about? And I said, well, give me a pen. And after giving me a pen, take the poster away, okay? I don't want to see that advertising. So we can't be hostages of advertising. I'd perhaps make much more money if I did advertising because you make a lot of money. But I don't want to sell cosmetics. I don't want to sell products. No, I don't want to sell ham or anything of that kind. And that's why I don't make a lot of money with my films. But my films are free. And I think this film, which is produced by Rosalie Bardin, my daughter, she was very patient to find money slowly but surely so that JR and myself could shoot for 15 months, one week a month, because after a week I feel very tired. I can't spend running all over the countryside. And I said 5 or 6 days is okay, but then we've got to take a break. I do the editing and I'm sitting down when I do this. So therefore, they bore in mind my natural, more or less, fatigue, but I'm in good shape, as you can see me. But it's quite clear that I can't do long shoots. But the production was rational, shall we say. Quite often I've worked with a crew for 7 weeks. We pay them a little less because they work for us, but not us. But slowly but surely we work with a crew every week, and the production was a very particular way of doing things. But it corresponded quite perfectly well with our project. When JR and I saw each other, I already knew his work that I admired enormously, and he told me he knew my work as well. And Rosalie said, well, get in touch and do something. And when we met each other, okay, sparks started to fly. We also, it was almost artistically fell in love and professionally fell in love. And so we've decided that we're going to work together, and immediately we started to find money to work straight away. But bearing in mind the idea that our techniques, mine as a documentary director of documentary and him as an expert in big images, We wanted to give value to people, but in a different way. He came along with the interviews with him, and I was with him when he stuck up those posters. I didn't walk up the stairs, obviously, but it did happen to him. I did give him the pace to stick it up on the wall. And we thought that two people with different ages, but with the same desire, the same will to give value to those people who don't have any power. And we were sure that it worked, and it did work. We're happy with the project that we've done. It was a modest project. A documentary is expensive, but it has nothing to do with fiction. So therefore, it's quite clear that we're going to have less viewers and spectators. And we're sure of this. We knew that the people have liked the film. The audience is very happy. They are under the impression that they've met those people who appear on screen. They're under the impression that they've met humanity of sharing with different people who say different things, sharing something with them. And we don't feel proud. What we feel is happy to be able to achieve our objective, to achieve those links, to be intermediaries between the people who are filmed and the spectators. And this obviously, and the audience, that's say the distributors obviously have to work so that you can see the film in many places. In France, we have a fantastic distributor who's going to show the films even in small cities and small villages and towns. And that's very important for us because the idea is to not go to the five main cities in every country, but to show it in towns. It's been shown in small towns, and all of a sudden 300 people came along to see the film. Perhaps there were two. It was showed twice with 80 people in the film theater, but our will is to make films that are quality films and popular at the same time. Work that I have to thank Cineta Maris and the distributor, the entire crew. Films have to have meaning and not only money.
Je crois que le film encore c'est.
Est-ce que tu es Emma?
Oui.
Je reconnais ta voix. Je te vois pas, mais je reconnais ta voix.
I can't see you, but I recognize your voice. This woman is incredible. She's a teacher in Girona, a film teacher. We need professors and teachers and journalists and fanatics like this because they're the people that achieve that link and for people to love films. Yes, I'm a fanatic of your films, as you know very well. It's true that will of conveying your film. I saw your film in Cannes. We met each other there. And I told you once again, a film that demonstrates the power of imagination and also affirming the power of freedom as well in film. And this reminds me of the Nouvelle Vague, the New Wave. And there is a tribute to Godard in this film as well. I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm not going to say anything more about it. But at the end, there are many questions at the same time. Have you seen the film? I'm going to try to answer you one by one. We wanted the spirit of the new wave was freedom because with new cameras and new films, the decision of shooting not in a studio but outside, that was freedom for us. But the objective of the people in the new wave, their objectives were different. They wanted freedom. They wanted, and going back to the issue of freedom, freedom is not only involves go out to the street and screaming, but it's to know whether you can leave, get out of those compartments or being stuck in a drawer. Like, for example, when JR wanted to document my age as I got old, I said, we're not going to look at small little things. No, let's do a big poster with the letters on them. And it was a fun way of course, the idea was to use imagination, and so the problem that I've got, my sight, turns into a spectacle. And when he started to take a photo of my hands and my toes and my eyes, imagine my toes, and he had the idea of putting my toes on a wagon. Imagine that imagination, that's a bit crazy. Eyes and hands and my toes, and I'm going to fragment you and put you on a journey. And there was a worker in the factory, and he was looking at the toes of my feet, and he was saying, it's true, they're very small, aren't they? And it was almost surreal in a documentary, which is social. And then all of a sudden we laughed, selling the toes of my feet, and the worker at the factory made a remark upon my toes. But we didn't want to be serious. We are not anthropologists or nor we don't study sociology, that is to say. We wanted it to be fun, and perhaps this is linked to the new wave, the Nouvelle Vague. We talked about Rozière and Godard. There was that desire of leaving and getting and doing things outside these strict formats. But the most important thing in my life has been fiction, but do also make documentaries, because it's a school of modesty, because we're at the service of the people that we record and we shoot, albeit we may make use songs and things about that have to do with the toes of my feet. But we wanted to do things in a very natural manner, and that our relationship, our friendship, and this story of using glasses, we wanted it to form part of the story, so that the film is not installed as a demonstration, but we wanted to have the pleasure of editing and shooting and recording. And we have Emma Tuchelit, who's a musician who I hope will be well known here in Spain, and he tried to find melodies with that mixture of melancholy, nostalgia, and energy at the same time.
Donc le film est pris. C'était quoi ta troisième question, Emma?
And there was a third part to your question. Yes, Godard has seen the film. It was a lot of fun because everyone was very kind to us except Godard. We didn't think that he was going to hold back either, but I think each of us in our life, we found a door that's closed in front of us, and I didn't think that was going to happen to me. The Godard's door was going to close in front of him. We thought we were going to film that encounter, but what we filmed was that non-encounter, that closed door. And as it was in reference to Jacques Demy, it was a bit of a shock. And then when we sat down on the edge of the lake, JR was great because he had the idea of saying, Godard at the end wrote part of the script. He wrote the end. He created the ending of the documentary. So it's a film. Has that brand of Godard. We send him the DVD and he hasn't answered back. So big mystery here. We don't know what happened there. So therefore, I continue to admire his work. I love him very much. He's radical at times. And he goes so far at times, I can't even follow him where he takes us. But he's a man that makes film a weapon for culture, a weapon more experimental films. We need people like him. And sometimes we need more than top quality filmmakers that do fiction or talk about feelings. I like films. I see all types of films. And what I know is what I don't want to do, and I know what I want to do, so therefore. And I wanted to end with La Plage d'Annaise, and to not make films for big film theaters. But then JR got me, held me by the hand, said, let's make this last film. But otherwise, I work more in artistic installations now. That's my line of work, where there's less money and less challenges. But I do triptychs, for example, and perhaps that are not well known. But I'm under the impression of what you say. I continue to use the power of imagination, I'm pleased to see that we can show life in a different way, and not only through terror. We know that world is an enormous chaos, and every day at this present moment, for example, what's happening with the Muslims that are going to Bangladesh, the poorest country in the world, it's a horror after horror after horror. We're seeing how people are drowning because they're migrating to another country. And those makeshift ships, so they're all boats. And then there's houses, floods, earthquakes, and things of this nature. We see this every day. We know this exists, but Perhaps you can also think that those people that go to see a film sometimes need something more, and not only what we see on TV, and that perhaps a documentary of encounters and meetings such as this can give us the idea that we're surrounded by people who have their concerns, their life, their work, and they feel like talking about them, about all of this and sharing it with us. And I think that the fact that we share it is something that'll work quite well in the film. I think the film has been very well received in France. I'm very happy when people tell me things like this out in the street. They say, young people stop me in the street, they say, thank you very much. They don't say bravo, they say thank you. And that's the best gift of all. Last question, please. Over here, I want to congratulate you for the film. And I've got a question that perhaps you've briefly answered, but I'd like to ask you that the film, despite its use, the MoMA, the Cartier Museum collaborated, and Canal Arte, I like the quote at the beginning where you say that as an immediate measure of wanting to make the film, you've used crowdfunding to achieve people that have paid. And I'd like to ask you whether, despite spending so many years working, what are the financial problems and economic problems and in production that you find when you make a film? Albeit you have a long career and a well-established career. Oh, great question, but because when I was asked, what does it mean for you to receive all of these awards? Well, I prefer money to be given to me instead of a prize, because for the last 60 years that I've been making films, I've always had great difficulties systematically to find money to make my films. And sometimes believe that people that are well-known and receive awards have money. Well, not at all. I haven't got a single cent. And when I wanted to make this film with JR, I said, what are we going to do? And so all of a sudden we created that crowdfunding. Let's say we talked to people, so if you want to give us some money, send it to us, and then we'll be able to start to make this film. We asked for 50,000 euros, and we received 54,000. Well, we have to take away the commission and the expenses. We have to deduct because we were going to promise that we would send photos. But at the end, 47,000 net euros, and that's what we started to shoot with. And people say it's ridiculous when someone's well-known, it's ridiculous to say, give us money. Well, it wasn't ridiculous because you shouldn't mistake things. That is to say, I've got a lot of prizes in a display cabinet. I've mixed it with Jack Denier's awards, but no one sends us checks or money. When I start to work, when I want to make a film, for example, in France, we've got something which has got income prior to it coming out the box office. We started with the crowdfunding, and my daughter, who worked as a producer, formidably, she got some money. And when you talk about those museums, it's right to talk about them, because when I make a film, which is appreciated in that respect, MoMA collects copies of films, not only mine, but of filmmakers they believe that are interesting. MoMA has a copy of Happiness and so on and so forth, the other films of mine. Well, my daughter said, why not buy the film before seeing it? And they accepted. They bought the film before seeing it, so they gave us some money, and they bought it blind, the documentary, before it was made, but they realized, and the same with the Cartier Foundation, they bought the rights without having seen the film, without having seen the documentary. They trusted me. They put their trust in me, so therefore, we said as if it was, well, okay, that you've been helped by museums, and crowdfunding has helped you, but what we needed to do it that way, no one will believe it, but quite often I spend more money, more time looking for money, more than making. When I did Luna Chat de l'autre part, for example, halfway through the shoot, I had to call up and say, hey, listen, I need more money. And I spent my whole life looking for money, but that's how life is. I think that filmmakers of my type, in my category, we've always had problems with money. It's part of our life. This is something we've accepted. No one has ever said, hey, do you want to make a film? Well, okay, go ahead and make it. Ask me for how much you want. Well, once in America, someone gave me a certain amount of money to make a film. Lions, Love and Lies, the only time in the United States. Otherwise, I spent the rest of my life asking for money here and there and wherever. I don't care, but at my age, this isn't going to change, is it? So, therefore, I've tried to answer your question, which was a bit complicated. Well, I hope you're not laughing at us, are you, because we've used crowdfunding. No. What's clear to us is that we were glad that people have sent us 20 or 50 euros. Someone has given us a little more. Many people have sent us 100 euros, people who perhaps know my films and my name. And we thank them very much. We've sent them photos and posters. So it's financing, it's a particular way of financing, but we're not the only people. There are many artists. There are a lot of people that try to do projects which are a bit strange that recur to the system, resort to the system. Well, you want to see a film? Well, give us some money beforehand. If you've seen the film, you will see that there are 460 credits and names. Each and every name appears on the film. Whether they've sent us 20 or 100 euros, they all appear there because they've helped us enormously, and that's why they appear from the beginning of the credits. Okay, thank you very much. We don't know. We want to thank her very much. She's got an agenda. She's got to receive a prize this afternoon. So we want to thank her very, very much for being here with us, and so thank you very much, and congratulations for the award and the prize you're receiving tonight.